Hey, greetings everybody. It's Brother Two Posts, Don'tPerish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, I just came in from the outside. It's raining outside, so I came in. You won't believe where I'm doing this audio from. I'm doing it from a garden center in a big retail store. It's the best place I could find where it's not a bunch of traffic, and I'm not going to get soaking wet. We've been having lots of rain. So today I want to bring you, we're going to talk about, we're getting back to our James verse-by-verse Bible study. We're in James chapter 2, just starting. We just finished chapter 1. Go to don'tperish.com. Look up all of the verse-by-verses. Look up the verse-by-verse tab. You can catch up on all the different teachings there. Today we're going to do James 2 through 1 through verse 5. Let's get right at it. James chapter 2, verse 1. And before I start this, I want to say, right when I was studying for this, you'll see the theme of this. And I walked in the store today and God gave me, how do I say this? Maybe a heart adjustment. God brought me to a place maybe I needed to be more so in my spirit. And I'll talk about that a little bit at the end of this teaching. So, James chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Okay, so Brother James here is going into an important topic. It's not uncommon in God's word about partiality, or better explained as the respecting of certain people over other people based upon their status, their wealth, their demeanor, their abilities, whatever it may be, that God frowns upon. Oh yeah, God frowns upon this in a big way. Acts 10:34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Yeah, maybe this is a good time to talk about what happened to me. So I came in the store, I was walking around getting, looking at different things and getting my mindset to do this teaching. And I saw this man. Now this whole teaching, you're going to see, is talking about the lowly, talking about the poor, talking about those that aren't dressed well, talking about those that don't have status, like people that are lifted up and rich or popular or famous, whatever it may be. And I'm walking around this store and I see this man, and I went to go to the bathroom and he was just coming out of the bathroom and I could hardly understand him. Handicapped with a walker. And he said, I could tell he said this. He said, oh, hurrying, I'm hurrying. And I said, don't have to hurry on my account, sir. And so he, barely moving at this walker. He's probably my age, but very thin and struggling and could hardly talk. And so I went back. I was walking around in the store and I ran into him again. And I don't know, the Lord just moved on my heart. And I went over and I talked to him. And I introduced myself and I couldn't hardly understand him. He has a handicap and very hard to understand. I have bad hearing anyway, but it was hard to understand him. But I introduced myself, told him what I do. I did get out what town he was from, and I said to him, I was just street preaching in that town, holding gospel signs. I gave him a gospel card. And then at that time, a lady, I don't know if it's, I might be his wife, walked up. And she didn't look very friendly with me. And I said, oh, I was just talking to him. I gave him a gospel card. She's like, oh, okay. And she walked away. And so I was walking around the store getting ready to do this audio. And I'm thinking about the lowly and how God's not a respecter of person. And how we shouldn't look to people that are famous or popular or well-versed in things and speak well. And all of a sudden, he kind of saw where I was. And he comes walking over to me. And he made his way, a long way, and this guy could hardly move on this walker. And I could tell he wanted to talk to me, but I couldn't understand him. My heart, my heart was broken. I couldn't even understand him, and the lady wasn't very nice to stick around. And but he, I did hear him say, what church do you go to? I think that's what he said. And I said, what church do I go to? And he shook his head, and I explained to him the gospel and how Christ died for us. And I said, we don't belong to a religious system, and I asked him if he goes to church, and he answered me, but I couldn't even make it out. And so I just shared with him as best I could in the middle of this big retail store. and told him I cared about him. My email was on there. If he ever could email or if somebody could email for him, I'd love to hear from him. And he gave me a high five, and I shared the gospel with him, told him you must be born again, told him to go to my website. And he walked away, I walked away. And then I saw the lady as I was walking around the store, and I went up to her and I said, ma'am, are you with the man with the walker? She said, yes, I am. And she was nicer than I thought, so good thing I didn't make a judgment. And I said, you know, I asked her if he had any needs or anything. She said, no, he's fine. And she told me that he fell off a ladder 7 years ago and severely, severely handicapped. I said, he does get along, right? He moves. She goes, oh, he moves. And so I just shared with her and she said, no, we're blessed. Thank you so much. And I said, if he ever wants to email me, he ever wants to talk through you or something. I said, I couldn't understand him. She said, I understand. And so that was my way to make contact with him. And I don't know, I tell you that story in the middle of this James 2 scripture study just to tell you that God really just kind of broke my heart seeing this man about my age hobbling around on a walker, can hardly talk. And it really, really convicted me about not lifting up people, not preferring people, not being partial. And I said this comment the other day to Sister Amin and to somebody else, to a brother, and I said, we need to look at people as souls, not as just people, and we would treat people differently. And that really just got ground into me when I met this man. And God just put it on my heart to see what people have to suffer through. And I could just imagine this man walking into a religious body versus somebody walking in who's dressed in fine array. We're going to get to that. And all dressed up. And this man looked very, he looked very poor, to be honest with you. But she said all their needs were met and all that type of thing. So anyway, I don't know. God just did something to my heart inside this store. And sometimes we think we are where we need to be. And sometimes God lowers us down another notch. Maybe so he can use us more. I don't know all of his purposes, but I do trust in them. So that's what happened to me in a store today, and I just wanted to share that with you. So let's get right back to, if I can do this here, let's get right back to our James verse by verse. We're in chapter 2. So we just did verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. So it's talking about don't be partial. Acts 10:34. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. So that's what this is all about. We're going to get into it a little bit more here. Verse 2. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come also in a poor man in vile raiment. Yeah, when I saw this man, I just got done studying for this. When I saw that man who looked very poor, and he looked kind of dirty, and he was hobbling around on a walker, and he had a smile on his face and he wanted to talk to me. It just broke my heart. I was glad I was able to share with him. So what James is setting up here is he's setting up the rich man versus poor man when you come together with people. And James is about to instruct us, remind us, teach us what we should not do and what people are so prone to. To do what I would have done in my past before Christ, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God. Let's talk about what this verse means. Goodly means splendid luxury. So this guy was all dressed up. He looked really good. Apparel, estes, it means a robe. Yeah, I always like to tell that to people. That's what people wore then, dresses and robes. Raiment means the same thing, a robe. And notice this whole parable here, or the story, or this context, is about clothing. Yeah, that says a lot about a person, doesn't it? What they wear, it does. It really does. It tells a lot about their heart. We do a lot of teaching on clothing because it comes up a lot. We do a lot of teaching on the condition of your heart. Jesus said, out of your heart, your mouth does speak. Well, I would say out of your heart, your life does live. It's the same thing, right? So that's an important concept for us to remember. Verse 3, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. So you see the difference? They're treating this guy that's wealthy, dressed well, popular, whatever, and they're telling the poor guy, yeah, just go over there. They're practicing partiality. This is human nature. It's often to give people preference based on their social status, their wealth, how they're dressed. And people look down upon the poor, what would be considered the lower class people. And this is sin before God. I don't ever want to do this, be this way. Maybe that's why God's humbling me, because I need to teach on it more. I don't believe I look on people differently. I deal with so many people in the gutter and so many people that are rich and so many people in between. I think I'm very impartial, but maybe God's trying to teach me something that I need to learn so I could pass it on to more people. Maybe that's what's happening in me through all of this. Partiality, 1 Timothy 5:21. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one another, doing nothing by partiality. That's favor. Don't look at that person, and say, hey, this guy's better than this guy. Because God, we learned, what? God's not a respecter of persons. People looking at other people, their stature, versus people looking at all of us as made in the image of God and we're equals, really is true. Again, I believe if we looked at human beings as souls rather as people, we'd treat each other a lot different. We really would. There'd be a tender heart, a humble spirit for people. When I'm around that man talking to him, I'm humbled. I am. Can't explain exactly all what that means, but I'm humbled around someone like that. And it makes me realize what God's talking about in this particular chapter. Jesus' words tell us the same thing, not to judge by appearance, but to judge rightly. John 7:24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. That means you don't look at somebody and go, oh, they're really nice and great. No, look at them. They're way down there. You know nothing about the facts unless you learn the facts and then make a righteous judgment. Yeah, the rich guy might love God and you get along great with him. The guy in the gutter might hate God and you don't get along with him. I get it. And it could be the other way around. Make sure you don't make judgments without knowing rightly. That's sin before holy God. Verse 4. Ye are not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts. Yeah. James calls out the sin of partiality. God hates it. And this goes all the way back to the Torah. God always had a heart for the poor, the downtrodden, the widows. We just learned in James 1:27, perfect religion is looking after the fatherless, orphans, and widows. Look what it says in Leviticus 19:15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty, but in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor. Make sure your judgments are always right, is what God teaches all over the Old Testament and the New Testament. Evil thoughts. Well, that would be this partiality, valuing people by their status, their clothing, how much money you think they make, whether they're popular, whether they're the governor of a state, or whether they're a guy in a gutter. Yeah, those are evil thoughts. You don't want to be thinking those, doing those, making those. Jesus said this in Matthew 19:31. You know, this idea that the rich people are great and first in line and all the beggars and the poor people are last, Jesus told us heaven's going to be flipped upside down. Watch out. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Yeah, there's going to be coming in the economy of people, there's going to become a big switch in eternity. So that's something for us to consider. It's going to be very, very different than it is on earth today and in the eyes of most people. Proverbs 14:20-22. Remember, I told you James, and when we started the introduction to James, James draws a lot from Proverbs and he draws a lot from Jesus and his Sermon on the Mount teachings. Here's Proverbs. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do not error that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good. So we are to treat everyone the same without partiality, regardless of their status, regardless of what we think about them. Don't judge until we know all of the facts. That's how we glorify God. That's how we honor His creation. Every person is created in the image of God. Oh, there are brother and sister in the physical sense. We're all related through Adam and Eve. They're not our spiritual brother and sister until they come to know Christ, but they still deserve to be treated with impartiality. That's what God is saying here. Verse 5, hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? So that word hearken, aku, means to listen and hear. It's like pay attention. And beloved, we've talked about this before, it means esteemed, right? We need that. We need more people that treat the brethren beloved and highly esteemed. We need more of that. And what James seems to be saying here is that often the poor are rich in the things of God and in faith. Why is that? Why do you think that is? It's not absolutely across the board true, but generally it is that way. Well, I think it's the two master mindset. People that have status and money and lots of things, they're living for those things and maybe God too. But a lot of times people that are poor and got nothing else, maybe God becomes their everything. That is a possibility. I think that's why Jesus said you can't have two masters. You'll love one, you'll hate the other. And Apostle Paul, Brother Paul, warned 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who give us richly all things to enjoy. Yeah, so I want to make this clear. Having money is not evil. Money is not evil. Timothy says, Brother Paul said in Timothy, that the love of money is the root of all evil. So having money is not evil, but it's this idea that if you lift up money, if you lift it up real high, right, and if you're giving partiality to people because of what they own, that also is sinful. If you're judging people based upon how they dress, that also is sinful. If you're judging people by what they can do for you or your body or how they can influence people, this is all partiality and sinful. And going back to the idea that, you know, when you're poor, you don't have much, you might be closer to God, closer to the kingdom. Being a van dweller and living out in the world, I don't know, I guess maybe this just hit me right now. This thought just popped in my head. Maybe the Holy Spirit gave it to me, I don't know. But being out in the world like this, I have become so aware of people, and not in a bad way. I've become so aware of people, I think, in a positive way, meaning I see people as souls, being a preacher out here. I'm not rushing to a job. I'm not trying to attain worldly things. I'm not looking to people to get me something that I need or want. I'm out here for the glory of God, preaching the gospel with Sister Amen. And I think this has really taught me to look as people, as souls. When I stand in front of a couple thousand people or maybe 10,000 or 20,000 in a day and I preach, I see souls. I see young children. I see housewives. I see old people. I see middle-aged people. I see rich. I see poor. I see black, white, yellow, red, doesn't matter. All one race. I see souls. And maybe that's what's really driving home here as I do. I guess that's why we do verse-by-verse Bible study. Because you look at things more in depth rather than just reading it. You actually chew on it. You meditate on it. And you understand it. So the beggars, where I was going with this, the beggars are often, the homeless people are often closer to the kingdom of God in their mindset than the rich people or the people sitting in the churchianity pews and the modern pastors. It's true. It's true. This man today who couldn't even communicate with me, I could tell he wanted to. He wanted to stand there and talk to me, but he knew that we couldn't communicate and it didn't look like his wife really wanted to help. So I offered him to email me. That was the best I could do. You talk to people in the pews and modern pastors or the average person in America, they don't want to talk about the things of God. They could care less. They're too busy. I got to go home and watch Netflix. I got to go to work tomorrow. I got to mow my yard and plant my garden, my flower garden, or wax my boat, whatever pursuit they have. So, just a mindset to think about. the lowly oftentimes see the kingdom of God and maybe a lot closer to it. They still have to repent, place their faith in Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. They have to repent and be born from above and walk in holiness and obedience and endure. That's the gospel. They got to do all of that. But a lot of them are a lot closer than the people we meet in the religious buildings. Tomorrow we're going to stand outside a religious building on pagan Easter Sunday, and it's never pretty. We always meet one or two sheep, maybe, or people that might be sheep, but it's never pretty because they love what they love, they have what they want, and they don't care about nothing else. But we got to be careful that we go and we don't make unrighteous judgments. We go there looking for the one. So James talks about the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said in Matthew 5, 3 through 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." So you see this low, this lowly attitude, low heart. This is what God is seeking for. He's seeking for the meek and the humble and the lowly, not the puffed up, the lifted up, the people that think they're something. We always go back to it. The story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee, "I pay tithes and I pray and I'm glad I'm not like him." And the tax collector says, "God have mercy on me, I'm a sinner." That's what we're talking about here. And Jesus also said, Luke 14, 11 through 14, "Whosoever exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humble himself shall be exalted." See that last becoming first becoming last. "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Yeah, I like that. And you know what? That reminds me, maybe that's why I like being out here in van life, being out in the world, living in parking lots, going out preaching in the streets. You know why? I get to offer the beggar, the lowly, the downtrodden, the discarded, the disenfranchised. I get to offer them the best thing, the gospel good news to eternal life, the minorities, the ones that a lot of people look down on. We get to reach out to those people. We offer it to everybody, but it's really special when we get to reach out to people that nobody else really cares about and is reaching. And I think that's what this is all talking about. Again, God's heart is always for the poor, the downtrodden. We can't deny that partiality can rest in the heart of man because we're fallen. And we can judge by appearance and judge by the outside. That'd be sinful. Doesn't honor God. Jesus never did that. He said, make righteous judgment. You want him to make judgment right about you, correct? You best make sure, I best make sure, that we're making right judgments about the people around us. And last thought, I know I really went on here. This coming in the store and meeting that man really kind of moved me. Last thought here. As we go forth into the world as believers in Christ, we want to make sure that as we're studying the Word of God, we want to make sure that we're not just reading it, we're not just kind of putting it in our file drawer and closing it up. You know, I was really pondering and thinking about the things of God today and thinking about what James 2 is talking about. And I ran into this man and God taught me a lesson today. And I think the reason I was able to get it is I was open for it, I was looking for it, I was seeking it. If I walked in the store and was busy with things of the world and the flesh and being swept away by everything else, I wouldn't have got it. That doesn't make me special. It just means let's make sure that we're always open with a heart seeking, longing for God to speak to us through the Word, through the Spirit. God will bring people in and out of our lives to show us things that we need. That man right there, he might think, wow, that was nice that that preacher came and talked to me, gave me a gospel card and spent time with me. But you know what? That man doesn't know that me meeting him, it meant a lot more to me, I'm sure, probably, than it did even to him. And I think that was God's plan, that we both would be blessed by meeting each other. And I sure hope I get to hear from that man. That's just part of loving your neighbor, loving God, the two great commands. So I'm going to leave it right there. We're going to start back at James chapter 2. We'll get to verses, 6 through 10 next time. Hope you're enjoying this journey with me. I think our rain is going to let up after 2 or 3 days, and we're going to get out on pagan Easter Sunday. We're going to stand outside a religious church. If you hear music, I'm walking back in the store. We're going to stand outside a religious church, and we're going to reason in love, and we're going to call people to the biblical gospel instead of their false, man-made churchianity. I hope you were blessed by this teaching today. Go to don'tperish.com. Check out all of our resources, thousands of them. We just keep adding to them every day. And you know, last thought, out here in the world, studying the word and doing ministry, this is never, ever, ever complete. Our Christian faith, our Christian walk, our journey in the Lord is never, ever complete. We have not arrived. Even Paul said he hadn't arrived yet. We got to keep striving every day, moving forward in the word, in our faith. And God's going to teach us and mold us and form us along the way. Sometimes we need things we don't even know we need. Sometimes we're where we need to be. Other times, maybe we lose sight of something and we need to be reminded. I think that happened to me today. Hey, I love you all. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. Go out and have a glorious day. Till next time, may God be praised.